This is episode 65 and focuses on Tanya Cassidy and colleagues' pedagogical case about Greta. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Who decides what at-risk means? A student misses two coaching sessions in a season. Would you question their commitment to the team? If these sessions were two important cup matches, would you be frustrated? Often, and whether right or wrong, a natural reaction is to be disappointed. But how we present this disappointment to the student needs to be managed. Some coaches don't, and punish students by asking them to run laps or tidy the equipment store. Others talk to the student and work together to support their engagement and development. So what type of coach are you? Or how would you help another coach to work with his or her players to support their engagement with the team? This blog helps us to understand how we might help the coach who punishes and the player who misses two games. Greta. Arriving at high school and playing rugby in an all-girls team was supposed to be a biggie for 13-year-old Greta. She had played rugby in her primary school and loved it, and thought she would really enjoy high school. But some of the things that have happened, her own development, her culture, and her understanding of herself as a Maori rangatea, which is the Maori word for youth, and the way people have reacted to her choices and decisions, have made things difficult. Playing rugby at primary school had meant playing with the boys. However, Greta was used to this form of touch at home, with the Hanau. She even got quite a lot of game time, because she's fit and fast, for the Hanau team in the local senior competition. Because of such fitness and pace, the coach of the girls' first 15 at school identified her as having huge potential. However, there was only one girls' team in the school, and Greta had to play with some big senior girls. Things were going okay until her coach, a traditionalist, with a my way or the highway attitude, had questioned her commitment to the team, identified her as being at risk, and had asked the school's sports coordinator to reprimand Greta, something the coordinator was not predisposed to do. Taking steps to find Greta's side of the story, the coordinator found a number of conflicting and in some ways indefensible events that had prompted Greta's wavering commitment. In short, due to a long-planned ski trip and then, later in the year, the tragic loss of her grandfather, Greta had missed a school match and a provincial trial. Her coach told her she had wasted a chance to make her grandfather proud by missing the trial and had made her hold the tackle bags for two sessions for going skiing. What's more, her maturing and developing body wasn't helping her to perform familiar skills. Her breasts were affecting her passing, and her growing limbs were making previously simple movements difficult. Added to this, her growing circle of friends and a growing love of other things like making music and playing social basketball, and rugby was becoming less central to her life, especially as it wasn't as much fun as going home and kicking a ball around with a brother. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. Central to this case is the obvious fact that Greta is a very talented individual who needs the support of others to help her develop. Cassidy and colleagues argue that this development should be first as a person and secondly as a sportswoman. It is important from a Maori perspective to identify and bring to light what makes Greta unique. This needs to be done in light of the broader context in New Zealand. Why was Greta identified as at risk? Was it because she was Maori, with their reputation for poor educational achievement, health issues and low socioeconomic status? And or because she was an adolescent girl, with their reputation for disengagement? And or because she didn't fit into a coach's ideas about commitment? Consequently, whose standard is she being measured against? Those of former colonising governments who oppressed the Maori and the fabric of their social society, or against a position as a Maori rangatea. Either way, Greta will be able to thrive as a Maori rangatea if those who assist her understand her anchor points in the world. Maori are not homogenous, and each individual and family group has particular ways of viewing the world. To help Greta be Greta, she mustn't be reprimanded or judged because of her cultural practices. Her Maori values should not be falsely replaced by another set of values. For Greta to learn effectively as Maori, she must be enabled to flourish as Maori. Beyond her cultural identity, Greta is also experiencing significant changes in her body, and these are affecting how she plays rugby. The rapid changes she is experiencing are impacting her movement control centre, i.e. her brain, and at the same time she is finding interest in other activities, but is being asked to ignore them for the sake of rugby. Not only does she feel that she is getting worse at rugby, she also feels she's being asked to play at the expense of other things she enjoys. Instead of punishing her, the coach needs to help her to update her internal models of how she moves, models developed throughout her life. She's currently thinking of a body as small, when it is actually large, which means she's producing inaccurate and uncharacteristically uncoordinated movements. Far from being engaged to play only rugby, Greta should be encouraged to try lots of unfamiliar movements so she can better understand how her body is moving and reconfigure her internal model of herself. While her coach might feel she should only play rugby, this is neither effective nor educationally sound. Moreover, punishment through physical activity is not likely to support her well-being or development. Holding a tackle bag, or running laps, or doing push-ups does not help people to see activities as being of personal interest. The coach needs to learn about the benefits of adapting a positive approach to coaching, communicating, understanding, and relating with young people. Pedagogically, the sports coordinator has it right. He wants to support Greta to develop as a young sportswoman, and not just a good rugby player. It is not about regulating her behaviours and her beliefs, but helping her to see sport and physical activity in a positive way. She's being seen at risk because, as a female Maori rangatahi, she gets likened to negative cultural and gender stereotypes. She's also at risk of not fulfilling her potential as a rugby player. Cassidy and colleagues argue that discussions around Greta need to move away from risk and towards resilience and resourcefulness. The way in which Greta interacts with the environment and is helped to cope with the challenges and setbacks she encounters will help her to excel as a young sportswoman. To do this, she should be encouraged to sample and engage in deliberate play, rather than specialise and deliberately practice. Her coach needs to adopt a positive approach to coaching and recognise that as a Maori rangatahi and as a young woman, her development is multifaceted, complex and dynamic. Only by becoming resourceful and being able to help Greta weave the various strands and elements of her life together will the coach be able to say that he helped her to flourish as a Maori rangatahi and just maybe as a rugby player. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your sessions and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening, and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will discuss Pilviki, Hekanaro Johansson and colleagues' pedagogical case about Oni. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. This is particularly relevant this week, where I have struggled with the Maori pronunciation. I have undertaken some research and visited many websites and watched videos to try and find the correct way of saying the Maori words. I can only apologise for the mistakes I have made and hope that my efforts will be taken with my best intentions at heart. Thank you.